Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Too sexy for your girl, too sexy for this world, too sexy for this ice, too sexy for that jack, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah. I'm too sexy for the trap, too sexy for that cap, too sexy for that jack.
Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. Okay. Welcome back. It's Middays with Marcus Maben. 8150, 93.9 is the number, 93.9 is the station. This is the time of day where I have to remind you, y'all, as Jalen Withers was making fun of me for the temperature in the studio, he said it was too hot. I said, no, Jalen. He said, at the hour, it resets because we have an awesome automatic system here. Temperature control is one of the most valuable resources one can have. And if you agree, the DFX company is definitely 100% the company for you. Simply dial 968-6222, or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Inquire about the Mitsubishi Mini Split for that hard-to-heat, hard-to-cool room in your home. Again, 968-6222, or you can look them up online at dfhcompany.com. Yeah, yeah, you can jump at it.
I always get excited when I get tagged in to do one of these
bad boys. Replacing Steve Rummage is one Nicky V in DraftKings.
Oh, man, I'm about to school that fella. I hope he's enjoying Epcot because he ain't getting this job back when he comes back. The NBA, it's back. And at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game. And if they do, you win $200 in free bets. So why not make your roster Washington, 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 and oh, yes, Washington. I'm so happy I get that joke now. It's very good, actually. DraftKings Sportsbook customers can also get skin in the game with new same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you can win. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code WLCL. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code WLCL this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. The fine print. Watch how fast I do this. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Boom. Eat your heart out, Rummage.
Texter says, I was waiting for the harmony to kick in, like End of the Road, like the Boys to Men. You get that joke?
No.
Boys to Men, End of the Road, bass voice guy.
Oh.
You know, just super bass voice, you know. Girl, you know I'll always love you. that was pretty funny.
That is funny. Okay, that was good.
Somebody else says he has a nice bass voice. He needs to think about getting into radio.
He really does have a good voice.
It stands out though. We have 8 text messages about his voice being so deep.
Well, I mean, hell, NIL. Have him voice your spot.
He must be doing that on purpose. I should have called him. Like, dude, that ain't your voice. That is not your voice.
He leaves here sounding like Urkel. Wow, Jake, that was a great interview. Thanks.
I guarantee that wasn't. So, people who were just joining us at the 11 o'clock, we did have Jalen Withers on. I probably kept him a little longer than I should. We had him in the first hour. Again, you can always go back and re-listen to that. It kind of put me in a full basketball mood. But I don't want to do that. I wanted to kind of reset because you know, I've been listening to a lot of football conversations. Say, so sounds like a grown ass man. He does. Fact. I still wanted to change gears a little bit. I don't want to kidnap all of the football conversation talking about lineups. And yes, people, having him in here did make me want to lighten up on his grade. I don't know though. By the time the season gets started, I guess we are in the season, but maybe I will jump back into angry mob mentality, Marcus. But we'll see. We'll see. Like I said, I always loosen up on.
I give it 3 games before you're back to that.
You think I'll soft grade him for 3 games?
I think, I don't know about soft grade, but I think that you'll use a less sharp, you know, pitchfork. How about this? You'll use the pitchfork, but it'll be your offhand. Like, you'll use it on your left hand.
But I don't know, because now I know he'll be listening. Now I know I'll be talking directly to him through the radio. Maybe that'll make me harsher on him.
I give it 3 games. Seriously. I give it 3 games.
Maybe.
We're training our dog. We got a dog trainer, and he went through, you know, when you have a rescue, like the different time frames, and there's a rule of three. And the rule, like, you know, not just in comedy, the rule of three is, like, after a certain number of things, you'll either regress or you'll get back to your baseline. So I'm giving you 3 games, and you're going to be back at your baseline.
Listen,
taking shots.
And also, 502 Originals, his gear is coming out, J-A-E-L-Y-N, Jalen Withers, on both Instagram. Follow him, y'all.
Yeah.
I
retweeted it. The station account retweeted it.
Tag him, follow him, make him feel better about being on these airwaves. Let his teammates say, man, you know what? Jalen went on there. I want to go check out Maven.
Maven's not so bad.
Right. Let's get this thing started, you know. But if they see his followers jump up by 300 and just going on for a couple of minutes, guess what we can do for you, fellas?
If you want more of that, like, on the program, then, yes, do exactly what you said. Like, share, retweet.
Yeah,
I sound
retweet.
Like every YouTube, you know, thing. You know, hit that subscribe button.
I know,
but seriously.
I know. Yeah, it does help. Last thing. I promise y'all, I'll move along. I didn't ask him about the major pain, the Mission Impossible.
I know. I had it. I meant to get in your ear and remind you about that. I thought the stat thing would be a little bit funnier. But, yeah, we had a... I had a best of.
That was yours.
Major Pain. Yeah, sorry. I'm muting it right now. Sorry, I'm trying to. I had a bunch of people drop off, so I'm trying to book folks for Jeff and I in about 30 minutes. So
you're,
my bad.
You're pre-producing for your.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. I want to jump out of this for. Texas says I give it one missed dunk before I'm back to Angry Grader.
I say
he misses a dunk. I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm.
No, I feel like he's bought one. He's bought one. You're gonna.
He's bought a couple.
Okay, so two missed dunks, 3 games. That's what I think.
He's bought a couple. I like him.
No, absolutely. He had a great way about it.
I like that. You're right. Yeah. Right.
And it helps when you have a voice that's like a mixture between, you know,
God and Barry White.
Yeah, somewhere in between right. those two. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Like that's how I imagine God sounds when he talks to me. Marcus, you did a great job, except for.
Yeah, I know.
Right. That's what he sounds like. Yeah. He's the voiceover.
Seriously, Lance McGarvey has a challenge now as the voice of God. Like, yeah.
Right. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I did hear Coach Brian Brown yesterday. I heard him in short stints, but I want to talk some football. I want to talk about how I'm going to consume football, because here's the thing. When you're not emotional on a Wednesday, on a Thursday, when you're looking forward to the game, you say, okay, what are going to be my expectations? You know, like, how am I? Again, yesterday I kind of made the point. I'm going to be watching how our defense holds up against power running, and not just power running, committed running teams that are not afraid to, if it's third and six, they're not afraid to say, we'll run it for three here, and we'll run it for three on fourth down. And maybe we'll bust one. Boston College is a team that's not going to be afraid to do that. Now, I don't particularly like 2020 coaching, hindsight 2020 coaching, because it's one of those you should have, listen, why did you go for the win when you should have went for the tie? And that call is 100% the hindsight 2020
it's
call.
Captain Hindsight from South Park, yeah.
Now, single calls are 2020 hindsight. But here's the problem. I don't know if yesterday's interview, I heard Drew and Blake and Baker kind of talking about it. They were kind of talking about the, where do you draw the line between being too honest with the community and saying, no, I did the right call. We just didn't make the play. Right? Because sometimes Coach Brown, you know, sometimes you can say, I went with my gut. Right? But if it works, you're a savvy play caller who just feels the game different, you know. If you're an analytics guy, it's you're advanced metrics, you know.
Right.
If it works.
Yeah, and if it doesn't, it's okay. This is why sabermetrics are destroying the game.
Okay, but here's the problem. I think there were at least three defensive possessions where he continuously made the decision not to bring the extras, right? Had it been one play where he just decided, this is the play for all the
marbles.
That's
hindsight, right.
That's the hindsight play. But three possessions is like
a systemic.
You're stubborn. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're being stubborn on this one. This is we're gonna need a philosophy adjustment.
You enter the insanity. Not.
Yeah. Not
to make light of it, but that's you doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Okay. You're entering the or either stubborn, outcoached. You know, stubborn, outcoached. Your gut feeling was wrong. And I'm kind of right in the middle of hindsight, and is your philosophy wrong now? You know, and again, this and the other one that I hate to bring up, Nikki, and I hate it with a passion, because I hate second guessing consistently. It's like the Jalen Withers thing. This man's went through shoe sizes, sock numbers, two insoles versus one, specially made or thought, which are awesome, by the way, people. If your feet hurt
all the time,
go to the foot specialist. It will seem ridiculous. You know that little foam stuff they it's in plants, the little foam stuff that you like pushing your finger in?
Oh, yeah.
The little. Listen, you go to the foot place. They will put your feet in that squishy foam. They will make
squishy.
They will make a mold of the bottom of your feet. Mm-hmm. They will run it through a computer. They will put a soft, smooth leather surface on an insole. They will put padding under your pressure points to make the contact of your feet to the ground perfect. They're orthotics is what we used to call them. It might cost you $300. Best money you'll ever spend. Our feet are our...
They're your tires, basically.
They're your tires.
Yeah.
How terrible do you feel when your tires are bald and it's raining?
Yeah.
You're like, how dumb am I?
Feeling like you're driving a bobsled.
Yeah, and I've, like, you have bad tires and you think about every stupid purchase you've made over the last month.
Really need that crunch wrap.
Right. And I spent $400 in the last 2 months on stupidity, and now I'm sliding. I'm literally on my way to work getting ready to lose my life because I was too selfish not to get tires.
Right.
Yeah. When I said $300, you know, whatever, you're like, all right, $300 for those soles.
Better than a stress fracture.
You're going to complain about your back hurting or your feet hurting for the next 5 years if you don't pay $200, $300 for some good tires.
It's an investment.
And these things are strong, so they go in every shoe.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally, like, to get your feet perfectly balanced, they can do that. Go pay that money.
I need to. Like, I bought some, like, over-the-counter ones, and they're serviceable, but I need to get the mold ones.
Get some for your feet.
I'm on my feet so much at the restaurant, man. And I mean, I'm chubby right now. And
I'm glad you said right now. It's only a temporary thing.
Yeah, no. It's just that's my current form. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll level up eventually. But I mean, yeah, you just combine all that and the fact I ain't what I used to, man, dude. My heels. I swear. I think I have, like, after last week, worked 3 straight shifts, man. I thought I had a stress fracture, dude. By Sunday, I was limping. I was like, this is some sorry stuff.
And a lot of insurances will probably cover this thing. So, yeah, look into
that. That's a good point.
I do highly encourage everyone. Like I said, when I came to college, they, you know, I thought it was just this little stupid thing. I'm not going to use my feet. I got my own insoles that I use. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, Marcus is... one of the worst things days of my life was when my shoe, like whatever shoe was in, I ended up throwing out some shoes and my orthotics was in the shoes.
No.
And I lost it. It's terrible. But you get the point. Do that. The whole point of that is what's going on behind the scenes with young fella and his shoes. You know what I'm saying? He's harsh on the ball of his feet. You know, I get it now.
I mean, it makes sense. The man's had to go through.
I like complaining about it.
Three different body transformations in 3 years.
I enjoy sitting home, tie your shoes up. I enjoy being the grouch with him. Now I can't even. I'm not having any more players on here. That was the last player.
No. Can we get Dre? Because everyone forgot about Dre, then you could talk to him.
Then no more players.
Yeah.
Because I'll start feeling bad.
Dre and maybe Gabe.
And you know how it is. You start humanizing these players.
Right.
Y'all just heard him sitting here and just chop it up. So now he's an actual person.
He's not just a jersey and an athletic specimen.
Now I can't sit at whatever restaurant just...
He's a nice guy with a deep voice and enjoys his teammates and is self-reflective and likes Major Payne. Damn it!
I know, and talks about, you know, hey, just I came up here and everybody was so friendly to me and I just felt like home and, you know, all that good stuff. So point being, I went into Brian Brown conversation. I'm trying to find where I am as far as hindsight 2020. Coach, you are going to have to make adjustments to the style. But again, now that we're playing a totally different style team, I don't know if this adjustment is going to be game specific or, you know, is he going to make an adjustment moving forward? But here's what we're going to do, people. We're going to listen to a little
post-practice yesterday.
Post-practice Brian Brown, and I will pause Nikki at some important moments. Nikki, fire away.
Obviously, Brian, just kind of, you watched that film of that Virginia game. When you watched that fourth quarter, I guess, what do you learn twofold? What do you learn about the guys, the defense you guys have, and then about yourself as a coach from that last quarter?
The one thing that I, thought about that fourth quarter, you know, I think a guy's a little bit, and they even said that they lost a little focus, you know, to finish the game, being up 17. We're not a senior Latin team.
Guys lost focus. You going with that one?
I mean, I can see that.
I don't. Let's just assume I'm mad at Coach Brown right now. Okay? I hear him say, guys lost focus. I bet you guys lost focus. Being up 17, right?
Yeah.
But I'm mad at Coach Brown. Coach, you can't come out here and your first comments about the fourth quarter is guys losing focus. Because that feels like...
Excuses.
Yeah.
Or passing the buck a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels like, yeah, I was making the right calls and guys just got, you know, got... Oh. You can't do that when I'm mad at you.
Right.
You know, again...
Could be valid, though.
Yeah.
Could be very valid.
They come back and you win... I'm more accepting of, and they came back because guys got a little lax. You lose, I want the coach saying, you know, my play calling, something, something, something,
my game preparation, you know what I'm saying? We should have made more. Then you can say, and mix that with guys probably got a little comfortable, you know, but lost focus when I'm mad at you.
Off the jump.
Yeah, I kind of don't like that one, but keep going.
So we're a really, really young team, and we have to understand how to finish games. You got to close games out. And that's one thing we didn't do.
Pause it. But it's still in that department of that's got to come later. That's got to come later. Because right now we're in strategy. You know, he asked you about what did you learn.
Right.
You know, that was the question. What did you learn? Them losing focus and them being young, you didn't learn that they were young.
Right.
So don't talk about them being young. You didn't learn that they, you know, they can lose focus at the end. You know, those are.
I mean, I know we're parsing it a bit, but that's what sports radio is. But also, I mean, if that's the case, it's almost and like one of those. If, let me grant you your argument. If you knew that was a thing that happened, then you got to stay on them and make sure that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, if that's what you learned, that your team lets off the gas pedal, then you better be.
And again, this is all prefaced.
Off the chain.
This is all prefaced with Marcus Maben is just mad because you lost right now.
And, right. And that's definitely fueling.
Yeah, and this is my pound of flesh moment. Like, listen, we're going to move on after this. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna get over this. But I'm going to critique right now just as far as my program strength, you know, moving forward. Okay, keep going.
Player as well as their standpoint and my standpoint as well on their last drive. And it's just fourth quarter in general. You know, we got to finish games, and I got to do a better job of making sure that our guys are prepared in every single situation.
Give me that first.
And,
no, I'm saying give me that response first.
Right.
And then tell me we may have lost focus. We may have.
We got like, there. It took 50 seconds, but right. We got there.
I mean, I knew he would. But like I said, just the order. Again,
parsing.
This is total, you know, couch potato breaking down of his game time speech, you know, or his post game. You know, this is, like I said, this is, and it's prefaced with disclaimer. I'm mad at you right now. Keep going.
We got to execute when it's time to execute. Fourth and six, we have to know it's fourth and six and not fourth and nine or fourth and ten. And same thing, fourth and nine, you know, understanding, you know, numbers game. Things out, I got to make sure I work to the new number three and things of that nature. So we've done a great job practice-wise the last week and a half and, you know, learned that our guys are, they're going to continue to fight. They're going to continue to fight, and they're playing hard. And we just got to execute down the stretch in order to win football games. So, you know, I know one thing. I wish I would have called a couple of pressures in that last drive. You know, kind of knew what they wanted to do. And they did a great job. The receiver did a great job, especially on the fourth and nine play, not going inside because that was his route, and he actually just sat down. You know, he was supposed to go back inside in the middle, and he saw the middle close, and he sat it right down on the hash, which was a great adjustment by him on the fly. So, but anyway.
Pause it. Now, that's a real one. That's a real, y'all don't know, they made an on-site adjustment for a good play. He's telling y'all, we knew the route that was coming. We closed the route that was coming. We had seen it. We were ready to pick that route. That receiver and that quarterback both saw the same thing and made a split on-site decision to stop and just stay right there and wait instead of continuing across the middle. So if I tell you, listen, this is the play they were running, and this is the move we made to jump it. They did a great job.
Right.
Now, yes, okay, now we can say, well, you should have did something earlier. You know, okay. But I want you to acknowledge that
that
I called the right play.
We didn't beat us. They beat.
Yeah, yeah.
It was them.
It was them sticking to their game plan. It was them. You know, doing it again, when I'm mad, I'm saying, well, you should have let it get that far because you should have did this and that. You know, okay. But I will give you, you called the play because you knew what was coming.
Right.
I'll give you a props on that. I will give you your good explanation. I'll take that one. Keep going.
From that, and I think our guys have, and we're going to continue to compete and fight until the very end.
Hey, Brian, Matt McGavick with Sports Illustrated. Scott said on Monday that he thinks throughout the game that defensively you guys should have brought maybe a little bit more pressure, considering how often Brendan Armstrong was able to find holes in that defense. Is that a sentiment that you agree with, that you guys probably should have found more ways to get more pressure, not just in late game but throughout the game?
Well, I think we brought a lot of pressure throughout the game in general.
They brought a lot of pressure.
I think he's talking about that fourth quarter, that last fourth quarter, because we had a multitude of sacks, especially in that third quarter. So he was talking more so about that fourth quarter. And yes, that's like I said, I wish I would have brought some more pressure, especially in those that last drive. You know, we brought some pressure throughout in the fourth quarter, but that last drive is when I wish I would have brought a little bit more pressure, especially when those guys is backed up a little bit.
Theoretical question. I'll make it quick. Is the quarterback play so much better in ACC versus what they've coached against on a consistent basis at App State, where they're confident that they can get more mistakes at the level they were playing? But now, like I said, ACC level has quarterbacks that can dice you up.
Right.
So it's like when Rick Pitino tried to go full court press in the NBA. It doesn't work here.
Right.
We don't turn over the ball. You know what I'm saying?
You can't trap us.
Yeah. You're not trapping Kyrie Irving. You're not trapping anybody. We are all like paid assassins with the Rock. Rick.
Up and down the bench, too.
That kid that's down there, Carson Edwards, you know what I'm saying? That's the Purdue kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what he'll do to you if you fool? He don't even play. Rick, I'm not pressing these point guards. Yes. Walter McCarty's tall. Antoine Walker's tall. We're all tall and long and fast and athletic. These point guards will eat us alive. Coach. This is an adjustment. I'm not going to let people bombard on you about, Appalachian State stuff. And, you know, but I will say there are some different things. And listen, I get it. Because here's the thing. And I'm going to liken this to this one story. I'm in Tennessee. My brother lives there. He's 4 years older than me. Right? He gets to go back to Asheville. Because we're from Asheville, North Carolina. He gets to go back to Asheville to finish high school. Broke my heart. It's my brother.
Right.
He goes back to Asheville. I start training. Nikki, next time I get hold of my brother. Listen, I'm about 12. He's about 16. You know, somewhere around that window. You know what I'm saying? So we're kind of getting a little competitive. You know what I'm saying? You know, we're kind of, our basketball games are getting a little feistier, and I'm getting a little, you know, length on me and stuff. I'm like, next time I see him, I'm going to tear him up. So I'm practicing like a wild man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like every day. It's like I don't have enough time in the day to practice to beat my brother when I finally see him. So I don't see him for about six, 8 months, right? We go to Asheville, North Carolina. We're sitting around in the living room. Grandma's talking. Uncle's talking. You know, we're in town, right? My brother's been living there, you know, blah, blah. So everybody's talking around us. He gives me this look, and he says, "You ready?" Right? So he must have knew. I'm sitting there. I can't wait for him to ask me,
right,
"Are you ready?" So we've been there about 45 minutes. I ain't seen him in 8 months. We've been there about 45 minutes. I ain't seen my grandma. I don't care about seeing anybody, Nikki. Listen. Oh, we're going to get on out of here, y'all. You know, good seeing everybody. You know, we're in town for a while. So, you know, we go straight to the court, right? We go
put us. We have some business to attend to.
Yeah, we got some business, right? Check ball, top of the key. It's my spot. That's my spot. 10 to 1. I blow him out, right? Just blow him out. I can see the look on his face like, ain't no way you're just going to keep on hitting this shot.
Right.
Mike, I've been practicing like an animal. I'll never miss this shot more than twice if you stand back like that.
Right. Got to adjust.
You got to adjust. I feel like quarterback play, like Virginia quarterback play, I could see how, like, I told that story to tell, I could see how a Coach Brown is like, no way. No way. They're not going to keep on hitting that. Not gonna, like, that window was too small.
And then it, like, pauses, the narrator, you know, comes on. They did keep hitting.
Yes, yes. And I just feel like he kind of got locked into that, my brother, just, there's no way they're going to keep on completing those because they're throwing in windows of two and three people. And it's like, no, without pressure, Coach Brown, these quarterbacks, they come from some play. Some, these are some dudes, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe you might not respect them, like, not, you know, SEC is not, you know, the super uber Peyton Mannings, and I've seen the best, you know, but it's like, no, dude, there's a lot of dudes that carve you up.
And that was kind of their MO, too. Yes. UVA, they got it done in the air.
Yes, and Bronco Mendenhall is not a five, he's not a five out coach traditionally. So they changed the style based on, we got a quarterback that can carve somebody up. You know what? Let's change the style this year. There's a reason Virginia changed their entire offensive strategy. It means you got to have somebody that can carve you up. I'm thinking, and this, again, this is theoretically, I'm thinking Coach Brown is still kind of locked into, like, maybe you want to feed on, or you used to feeding on inaccurate, bad timing.
Or at least that gives you a little bit more wiggle room.
Yeah, yeah, but not, it's like, Coach, not at this, you know, this is probably my one not at this level argument. Because, I don't, like I said, I don't, football's football.
Yeah.
You know, you get guys a big, and again, the same person that's saying not at this level here, not at this level, has to acknowledge our offense is one of the tops in the country. Like, we're putting up huge, huge offensive numbers. So, not at this level, guy, you're going to have to acknowledge.
Yeah.
And
you can't have it both ways.
Right, right. And I got laughed off the face of the earth when I said, okay, Javian Hawkins is leaving. Des Fitzpatrick is leaving. Guys, when you start going from one big target, sometimes you try to force feed a talented target. When you start getting more talented depth, your offense, it's possible your offense can improve.
Marky, you lost, you lost Tutu Atwell and Des Fitzpatrick and Javian Hall. You'll never be a better offense. You never. I'm like.
Well, people said this. I mean, do you remember the arguments that, well, maybe this Bobby offense will be more balanced with Lamar Jackson, dare I say even better without Lamar Jackson? And everyone kind of was like, really? But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, Lamar Jackson was a generational player. He was a Tecmo, you know, Bo Jackson. No offense to, you know, Tutu and Javian. They were terrific players.
They're terrific, yeah. But
you can replace those a little easier rather than a generational Heisman winner.
And I said, listen, a Malik that takes care of the ball and spread offensive weapons, it's a possibility that you could get a better, you know, better offensive numbers. And I think our offensive numbers are a lot better this year than last year, offensively.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm pretty sure the stats will back that up. But, yeah, point being, you have to give that credit to say, okay, even at this level, his system does work. And it's not like he had, because, you know, Tutu was a freak, and that's why, you know, his stuff's working, or this guy was a freak. No. Malik hasn't been doing freakish stuff. Tyler Harris, you know, like I said, we're, you know, slants, and we have freshmen. Trevion Cooley's a freshman. You know, these running backs aren't big names, but, again, to be putting up this many yards and scoring this many points, and you lost all your three power players. So I feel like, give him some credit on this.
Yeah. Not to lick the sprinkles off the donut, but could you also make the argument that the ACC is not as good this year as...
I was riding along and I thought that, but you know what I can say? And I don't... Listen, everybody's so uncomfortable with this one, and I don't know why. Alabama, Texas A&M, Georgia, right? SEC sucks this year. LSU got wiped by UCLA. Like, go look at their act. They suck. It's a down year for the SEC overall. They have, usually the ACC that gets the you get two top feeders right. and everybody's
the glob in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm sorry. Like I'm not sorry. They're down. Florida sucks. When have you seen Florida and LSU suck?
It has been a while.
They suck, Nikki. And like, again, this is not me finding okay, I won't say this. I'll just say, just because saying they suck just sounds like hating. Let's just say
it's a bit of a down year.
It's a bit of a down year. So
and they're a little top heavy. It's a
yes.
The SEC's Dolly Parton.
Listen, fair enough. You know, like, would you say I'm at least telling the truth about that?
I definitely think that, like, collectively, the conference isn't it, but. Yeah, just you know, change the terminology a little bit, yeah. Like, you know, so it doesn't sound
so harsh. Like Mississippi State, LSU, Florida, Missouri. You know, of course the Vandy. You know, like
Kentucky's pretty much the only decent team in the middle earth.
Yeah, right. South Carolina. Like, look at their numbers and who they play. I'm just sorry. So the reason I bring that up is because we don't really change the narrative too much on SEC. So ACC, I'm not going to change the narrative and saying our numbers are this way. Malik's been playing awesome. If this Malik played last year, we'd have had a hell of a lot more wins.
2-2 with JV and Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, he's been knock wood so far. Yeah. The turnovers
If he'd have been this last year, we'd be second in the conference. If this Malik showed up last year.
Yeah, because this Malik brings ball security.
And he's slinging the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Ball security.
And still getting it done on the ground.
I don't even think he's running that much.
No, which is good.
Gonna, yeah, right. I think he's red zoning it. He wants his touchdowns.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, let's get back to Brown a little bit.
And not just playing coverage, but absolutely.
Brian, there are times this year where can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
There were times this year when you guys rushed three and you guys were getting pressure. I mean, the Florida State game, UCF game a little bit too. You think is it something with the health of the D-line or fatigue for the D-line that maybe you guys didn't get the pressure you thought you'd get on that last drive against Virginia?
Well, the one thing, Cam, if you go back and look at it on some of those, three-man rushes, sometimes the ball was getting out immediately quick, so you're not ever going to get there in a quick game. The other times, I think, with the three-man, those guys were keeping their tight ends in and chipping them, chipping those guys a lot. So now when you're keeping six guys in some, with a three-man rush, sometimes you may not, you probably won't get there. And so that's where I have to do a better job of, hey, and I got to bring a little bit more pressure, because those guys are chipping and staying in and protecting a little bit longer. So that's on me. So I got to do a better job with that.
A quick follow up to that. You have an off week when you watch for your off week. Do you just sit there and watch that film, that Virginia film all day and go over it and critique it? Or how do you move past a game like that?
Well, the one thing that I did, of course, on that Sunday, we cleaned it up on that Sunday and, of course, watched it again on that Monday. And then the guys, we came back and practiced on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I went out on road recruiting on Monday. But, yes, I watched it a lot. I watched it a lot because, my dad always tell me, man, you're only as good as your last one, number one, but you have to learn from mistakes, because if you don't learn from mistakes, it's just a mistake. And so that's one thing that I did. I watched it a ton and continue to watch it and just see, hey, where could we have been better in certain situations throughout.
That was probably the worst film session.
Oh, good God.
In history. Because here's the problem.
And a whole extra week to dwell on it.
And the problem is, you watch three quarters of it and you're like, man, I'm awesome. You watching your dudes, we're getting picks. You're getting pressure to the quarterback.
Sacks, yep.
Yeah, so that's one of those tapes. You probably don't even get to watch the three quarters of good. You just go to the fourth and just, geez, I screwed this whole thing up. I tell you what, I want to keep you on schedule. I don't want to lose all your commercials. Let me take a last quick commercial break. Middays with Mark. Oh,
The way we are right now, would it be easier? I think it'd be easier if we just went to the top.
Okay, quite honestly. Okay. Yeah, and we got to get you ready for it. Okay, keep running it.
About the game, whether it was the last drive or whether it was early on in the game, the one thing, we didn't execute on that first drive. I mean, it's 3rd and 16, and we give up a first down, and now they go score points. If they don't get that, they don't win the football game. Because now that's 7 points off the that's 7 points off the board. So we got to do a better job of not letting it get to the end where it's a close game, to where if we make some plays throughout the first half, you know, even in the second half, that fourth quarter, we're not even talking about us losing that game right now.
Got to refresh it.
Yeah, that's fine. Texas says, Maven, percentage-wise, how patient should the fans be with Satterfield staff? He's doing a good job. He could do better. We can criticize. He don't suck. He don't suck. Purdue be not with them. Let's stick some extra pressure on that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it's just a big brother staring over your shoulder all the time. It's, you know, it's kind of one of those things. If we didn't have a candidate ruffling the fan base's feathers a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Maybe. Okay. If Satterfield had come from a different place, if he came here from
about another Power Five,
LSU.
Oh, it was like a coordinator or something?
Yeah. As an LSU coordinator, would the job he's been doing would we be comfortable saying we moving the ball? We might need some twist, you know, we might need to do a little something about the defense, but if he had a bigger profile,
I mean, could that go two ways though? Because on one hand, you'd have more confidence, like, oh, he's seen this before. It's not the not at this level type thing. But on the other hand, if you did some stuff that could be almost excused away with not at this level, it's like you should know better. Like, isn't it sort of one of those things where it's a double-edged sword a little bit?
We're going to be watching Coach Brown. Because, listen, that label, that not at this level, this will be the last year that we have to decide if this is a level thing. Or this is a, you know, or is a, you know, is it we need some bigger dudes. We need,
right.
We need some developed talent. Okay, keep on.
Ryan, going back to the late three-man rush and dropping eight into coverage. Satterfield kind of mentioned that.
They're not going to let this go on.
No.
Your whole defense is just boiling down to, they don't want to know what you're going to do next game. They don't want to know if you're going to change your host. They rushing three, it's like Coach Mack when he gets pinned with the pack line. Like, he can tell you, like, well, no, we don't run the same kind of pack line as this. And pack line is kind of a misnomer. They're like, no, pack line.
Yeah, it's
stuck.
Right,
you're done. You're never gonna get out the verbiage of pack line.
I think our shot selection was but pack line. Yeah,
just. Over the bye week, you guys were kind of tinkering and experimenting with different little ways and different looks you guys can produce on defense. Is the three man rush something you guys are going to continue trying to implement late game going forward? Are you late game? Yes, and second part of that is, are you going to try and like figure out other ways to kind of scheme up pressure outside of just maybe sending one extra guy on maybe a three or four man rush?
Yes, to answer your question as far as three man rush at times, dropping eight. It all depends. Everything is about situations. And so, yeah, sometimes we will drop eight and rush three at times in certain situations. It all depends on down and distance as well and situations of the game. But, yes, we have and we've done it this year as well, bringing more pressure, bringing five, bringing six. So, yes, we have continued to expand our package as much as we could with the off week, especially, you know, when you lose a guy like Money Montgomery, who's in a lot of our third down packages, you know, it limits you in some of the things that you're able to do. And so not having him for sure has hurt a little bit. And so now we've got some guys that's been in there that this past week that have worked a lot more.
We're just so
and,
savage.
So hopefully we'll be able to, you know, use some of that moving forward.
We're just so savage as a fan base.
Yeah, it was like, damn, kind of forgot about Monty.
Monty Montgomery's such a good football player.
Yeah.
And you know what? You rolled your eyes, and I rolled my eyes, too. Because we don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear it. It's like, I lost my best defensive player. This is Louisville. Like, this, I don't have a third Monty Montgomery on my bench, y'all. He was going to the NFL. He was going to play this season and he was not going to be here next year. He's a talented player.
Why can't we beat Georgia and have five of them?
I know.
We want five Monty Montgomerys. Go out and get us five Monty Montgomerys, coaches.
Yeah, and again, let me refresh your brain. Georgia took our coach who had three Monty Montgomerys on deck. Georgia literally came and said, we have the best team in the country, but we need more. Go get us more. You, Cooper, at Louisville, you're coming with us. We heard you got five Monty Montgomerys. We're going to make sure nobody else gets any more Monty Montgomerys. Oh, God. So we lose Monty Montgomery and the guy that was going to bring in four more of them.
Yeah, more Monty Montgomerys. We lost the Monty Montgomery factory.
And I'm sitting here complaining about a coach pointing out that he lost the best defensive player on the team. The one hand in the dirt, line slash linebacker slash do it all guy. Figure it out.
We both looked at each other like, damn it.
Go ahead.
Brian, health-wise, I know Ashton was a little banged up. How did you guys look defensively coming out of the bye week?
Coming out of the bye, we were pretty healthy. And like you say, Ashton was banged up the Wake Forest game, came back and played last week. So as of right now, we're pretty healthy going in. Of course, minus money. And, hopefully we can stay that way until game time.
Hey, Brian, it's Jody Dimley with Cardinal Authority. Sorry, I jumped on a little late, so I don't know if you've been asked this or not. But at the safety position, how would you kind of assess those two guys, you know, Q and Kendrick, and what they have done? And then Scott mentioned on Monday trying to get Minkins some more reps. Do you see a guy like Minkins or Ben Perry, you know, getting some more reps as you go along?
Absolutely. You know, you look at, what Kendrick Duncan and Q's done, being a first-year player here at Louisville, they've done some really good things and done some things that they most definitely could work on and have worked on. And, so the one thing that those guys continue to do, they continue to fight, they continue to practice, continue to come in here and watch film more and more. And so that's all we can ask those guys to do is continue to try to get better each and every day. And, yes, we are going to try to get Minkins and some more guys in to be able to help spell some of those guys, because when you're playing, 90-plus snaps a game plus special teams, that's a lot of plays. And so then you get tired a little bit, and now your legs kind of wear down as the game continue to go on. So, yes, you will be able to see, Minkus, he's a much more healthy now and practicing a whole lot better. Yes, you'll be able to see Minkus in the game this weekend, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't wait to see Josh Minkus out there getting some extra clock. Let me get this last phone line before we get out of here. Joe, fire away, my man.
Marcus, look, I think we know, everybody know. I mean, at the end of the day, there's six games left here for the rest of the season. To see, where the fan base is going to be, just meaning, I mean, I personally think, I said 7-5 at the beginning of the year is what I was looking for. I mean, if you go 4-2, I guess to finish off the year, that would put us at 7-5 mark. But
right.
I think that's what it is. I mean, I feel like if the fan base, if they get to that, they go to a bowl game, and they do well in that, I think, the fans will be on board. I mean, the flip side of it is if he goes out here and they finish 5-7 or 6-6 and get blasted by Kentucky, I think and I know what the fan base is going to feel like. They're going to be looking over there at West Lafayette. I mean, that's where it's at, man. You got six games left.
Half of the people looking there anyway. Joel, I appreciate the call. People, fun show. Thank you again. If you want to go back and listen, Nikki will have it potted up for the Jalen Withers interview. I think you might enjoy it. I think you'll be less inclined to yell at him. He'll probably be one of your more favorite players moving forward. Make sure you follow him on Twitter and Instagram, JAELYN, Jalen Withers. As always, 8150-939 is the number. 3831-939 is the text line. Normally, the YouTube channel is rolling Made for the Ville. Middays with Marcus Maben on 939 The Ville. We'll be right back.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.